but this produced little fruit in his life. So Mark Stibbe, the pastor, he had no idea of what to do, so he started taking him back to the basics, the foundation of the faith, thinking that that would help him, the essentials of what it means to follow Jesus, and gently challenging him at various points in the conversation. This didn't help the man at all. In fact, it drove him into deeper guilt. And one day, quite unplanned, they started looking at the aspects of God's nature, his fatherly love, his holiness, his eternal being. And as soon as that happened, the man's eyes lit up and he came alive. This is what the man said. He says, "Now this is really helpful. It's a lot more healthy concentrating upon God than upon me. I need to judge my circumstances in the light of God, not God in the light of my circumstances." And I wonder if that's a message for someone tonight. I wonder. Do you need to judge your circumstances in the light of who God is, not judging God in the light of your circumstances? The poet John Milton, who wrote Paradise Lost, famous work, he also wrote towards the end of his life a poem called On His Blindness. And the first part of the poem is talking about the suffering of going blind. Imagine that, a poet going blind, not being able to see, not being able to write. It must have been torture. But the way out of Milton's depression was when he moved from an emphasis on me to an emphasis on God. And this is the end of his poem. There's a big but, a turning point in the poem, but patience to prevent that murmur soon replies. God doth not need either man's work or his own gifts. Who best bear his mild yoke? They serve him best. His state is kingly. Thousands at his bidding speed. And post o'er land and ocean without rest, they also serve who only stand and wait. First time I read that poem, I was deeply moved by it because that last line, they also serve who only stand and wait. And so much of our value system in our culture is based on what we can accomplish and what we can achieve. And we have to remember that people are coming together in church community. People perhaps not by this world's standards achieving very much, perhaps in a state of grief or in a state of depression or learning difficulty or whatever, but this very gifted man, as he became blind, he came to just become much more God-conscious. And he then came up with this line, "They also serve who only stand and wait." And when we're praising God, we don't have to think about how productive we are. Maybe for some of us, we need to learn to waste time rather than to save time. When's the last time you had that in your appraisal? Need to waste more time. You become less productive. You need to stop, appreciate, kick some leaves, and praise your Creator. So finally, having looked at the the challenge of praise, and looking at the reason for praise. We're now going to look just finally about the practicalities of this. I'll give you an example. Psalm 30, verses 4 and 5. I spent 10 minutes this afternoon just finding psalms with praise the Lord in it, and actually there was just so many, I just stopped. If you want to learn how to praise the Lord, just open the psalms and pray the psalms back to God in your own words. So Psalm 30, 4 and 5, it says, "Sing to the Lord, you saints of his, praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only for a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may return for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning." So as we, let's say we've chosen Psalm 30 and we're meditating on it, what does that mean? It means, if you think of a cow chewing the cud, I know it's not the best illustration. It's Eugene Peterson's fault, if you don't think that's very good. That's what he said, scripture meditation is like a cow chewing the cud, getting all the juices out of the grass, getting everything out of that psalm, reading it over and over again. And as you do that, maybe you've read it for the third time now, and the words anger and the words favor stand out, and you think, what does that mean? And then you come to remember or to realize, maybe through reading a cross-reference, but remember, this is not study, and this is a big health warning. Those studious people in the room tonight, this is about devotion, not study. So you might want to do a big cross-reference on these, but maybe you shouldn't, because then you'll never get round to praising God, because you're so into the Bible study. But let's just assume that you know that anger and favor capture the two aspects of God's nature, his justice and his love. So God's anger against evil is an expression of his justice, because he's good. Like Jesus, when he got angry and he drove people out of the temple when they were changing the money. So thinking about God's justice and God's love, you then turn it into a personal prayer. So I'm going to just pray this now. Oh Lord God, I praise you for your holy anger. It's not like human anger, uncontrolled, capricious. It is a holy anger. It is a just response to human evil and sin. It's a side of your nature I don't like to think about because it scares me. And it's a side of your nature that I often neglect and don't talk about enough. But I praise you that you are perfect, and I praise you that you are holy, and I praise you that you are justly angered by my sins. But I praise you even more because your word tells me that your anger, that you're slow to anger, that your anger lasts a moment while your favor lasts a lifetime. Your grace, your mercy. So So I want to praise you for your kindness, Lord, for your mercy and for your favor. I want to praise you that we see your justice and your grace displayed in the cross of your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's a practical example of how we can take a meditation and turn it into a prayer. I spoke this morning about the Word of God and prayer and how the two are totally interlinked. It's actually more complicated than that because this is a book of prayer. And this book is full of prayers. And so this is not information. This is often devotion. And one of the breakthroughs in my Christian life came when I went on a preaching course. Again, I'd been a pastor for quite a few years. And the main thing I took from this course was that preaching is not about delivering a talk. Preaching is about an overflow from a week of prayer. And that when you have a passage to preach on, yes, you have to study what the words mean and all of that, but the most important thing you do is you pray the passage. You're praying the passage all week. And it's as you pray it that the conversation with God begins. And as I was meditating on the passage that I was preaching on this morning, how many times did I read the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God? Probably 20 times, 30 times, 40 times during the week. And I was thinking, there's this relationship between prayer and Scripture. I think this is what you want me to speak on Sunday morning. If we're going to be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power, then we need to grow in our prayer life, and we need to grow in Scripture. We need to equip people to learn how to pray, and we need to equip people to learn how to understand God's Word practically. And these are the two objectives that we want to move forward on this year. So I'm thinking, that's what I want to preach on. And it was probably Friday night or something. I think I was doing the dishes. And just the thought came into my head, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Spirit of God inspires our prayer. The Spirit of God inspires our reading of Scripture, our understanding of Scripture, our proclamation of Scripture. And it was just, yeah. And just thanking God and praising God for the gift of His Spirit and the gift of His Word. Okay, I'm going to finish. Time's up. I'm going to finish by, and I'm not reading it, this is like a prayer of adoration. What I'm going to do first of all is I'm going to read, or I'm going to declare, I think it's better to say the word declare rather than read. I'm going to declare the seven names of God. Not in Hebrew, English translation, Old Testament. Seven names of God. I'm going to declare them. And then I'm going to go through the alphabet and I'm going to declare a name for Jesus for every letter of the alphabet, apart from X and Z. And that'll be the end of the message. So that we'll just finish on this meditation, this praise. This is prayer. We want to thank you, Lord, for who you are. We want to thank you that you're always our provider, that you're always our banner. You're always are peace. You're always there. You're always our righteousness. You're always our holiness. And you're always our healer. That who you are never changes. And we worship you for who you are. We thank you that you revealed yourself in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author of our faith. He is the beloved Son. He is the Christ, the cornerstone. He is the door of the sheep. He is Emmanuel. He is the faithful and true witness. He is the firstborn over creation. He is the friend of sinners. He is the good shepherd. He is the great high priest. He is the God over all. He is the Holy One. He is the hope of glory. He is the I Am. He is the image of the invisible God. He is Jesus. He is Jesus Christ. He is Jesus Christ the Lord. He is Jesus Christ the Lord, the Son of God. He is the judge of the living and the dead. He is the King of kings. He is the Lamb of God. He is the light of the world. He is the last Adam. He is the Lion of Judah. He is the Lord of lords. He is the man, Christ Jesus. He is the man God has appointed. He is the mediator. He is the merciful one. He is the morning star. He is the name above every name. He is the offspring of David. He is the Omega. He is the one and only. He is our peace. He is the perfecter of our faith. He is the prophet, powerful in word and deed. He is the radiance of God's glory. He is the ransom for many. He is the redemption. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the root of David. You are the ruler of the kings of the earth, Jesus. You are the Savior. You are the shepherd and overseer of our souls. You are the Son of David. You're the Son of the Blessed One. You're the Son of the Father. You're the Son of God. You're the Son of the Living God. You're the Son of the Most High God. You are the teacher who came from God. You are the true vine. You are the truth. You are the unknown God that was made known to us. You are the vine. You are the way. You are the wisdom of God, the word of life, the worthy one, the yes. All the promises are yes in you. And we want to say that we love you and we adore you. Let us praise God. Praise my soul, the King of heaven. To his feet thy tribute bring. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you this night and forevermore. Amen.